How can you use drones to improve satellite communications? Find out in today's episode.
3, 2, 1, engine full power.
Welcome to Your Space Journey, where we venture into the future of space exploration. Your journey begins now.
Hello and welcome to Your Space Journey. I'm your host, Chuck Fields. I want to thank you for joining me today. Today we're going to talk about a company called QuadSat and how they're revolutionizing the SATCOM industry by testing satellite communications using drones. Joining me today is Joachim Espeland, the CEO and co-founder of QuadSat. QuadSat is a cutting-edge drone technology company that specializes in testing satellite communications. Their innovative drone-based solutions allow for quick and efficient testing of satellite systems, reducing the cost and time required for traditional testing methods. QuadSat's drones can fly to specific locations and simulate satellite signals, allowing for real-world testing of satellite systems. This technology can be used by satellite operators, telecommunications companies, and government agencies to test and optimize their satellite networks. With QuadSat's technology, companies can improve their satellite communications and ensure that their systems are functioning properly before deployment. Overall, QuadSat is a leader in the field of drone-based satellite testing, providing reliable and cost-effective solutions to a wide range of clients.
Your space journey.
Joachim, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it is an honor to have you, because I tell you, I was really impressed with your amazing background just so far in engineering communications. I wanted to just talk about a few things that really impressed me, and I think our audience would be impressed too. But you helped orchestrate one of your amazing tasks was the first live broadcast from Easter Island. I was wondering, can you just tell us a little bit about that? It's fascinating.
Yeah, that was a quite interesting project that we did. I met a broadcaster kind of randomly at Slush, which is a startup conference in Finland. Mm-hmm. Why it's called Slush is because it's in December, and that's what the weather is in Finland in December.
I understand.
Yeah. So basically, we met after the event at a bar, and he told me that his dream was to have a live broadcast from Easter Island. He was a broadcaster that has been working on Lollapalooza and doing a lot of bands and these kind of things in advance. And we got to the talking, and I told him, hey, the only way to get a live broadcast from Easter Island is through a satellite. So I work in the satellite. I think that this sounds like an amazing project. Let's take this forward and see what we can do.
Nice.
So we worked on this for, I think, several months before it actually came to fruition. He was able to get the funding. SES actually launched their first satellite. The first commercial mission with SpaceX was an SES satellite, and that was mm-hmm. SES-10. And, wow. And that one was just put in orbit just a little while before we were going to Easter Island, and it had just a small footprint going right over Easter Island. So we could use that, and we were able to make an agreement with a teleport in Longovilo, operated by Entel. We got a flyaway antenna kit, SATCOM kit that we set up on the island, and we were able then to live broadcast the, it was a rugby tournament, Rapa Nui 7 it was called. So they flew in all these rugby players from all over the Polynesian islands, and they all played against each other, and it was a blast.
So that's incredible, and for you to have the vision to do it, I mean, that's just a pattern I think we're all going to get as this interview progresses. So that was amazing. Another thing, the interstellar broadcast of 21,000 poems transmitted to the Coalsack Nebula, a mere 600 light years away. Can you tell us a little bit about that? That's fascinating too.
Yeah, so that was in a very similar way. It was we got in contact with the poets, and they were looking to do something a little bit extraordinary for the 500-year anniversary of Magellan, who had his sail around the world. And we discussed this a bit back and forth. We're working with a lot of software-defined radios in the company, and we figured we could make our own transmission and send it out then and focus on the Coalsack Nebula, which Magellan used to navigate the ship around. So we traveled down to Punta Arenas, which is all the way south in Chile, and we spent a couple of days there at the cultural center where we hosted a live event and did this transmission of the poems and everything. So yeah.
I just think that is so amazing. Again, two incredible things, but that it's like you're just getting started, because that leads us to QuadSat, in which, you know, your technology has been recognized as a game changer. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. It's drones, satellite communications, SATCOM for short. Some of our audience, for me, it's a truly amazing field that impacts all of us. But I personally think, sometimes the technology is taken for granted. People are just, oh, the stuff just works. Yeah. So in your own words, why is SATCOM important?
Oh, it's become so many reasons, and it keeps becoming more and more reasons why SATCOM is truly impacting the world. I guess the biggest thing that we all are affected of every day is GPS, of course. No GPS, we wouldn't be able to get around in the way that we do. All the fantastic apps that we have that deliver food, that takes you anywhere, and all of this is all reliant on GPS. But also very importantly is the ability to communicate anywhere in the world at any time, basically. SATCOM is the only solution for that. If you need to do something in a remote area, SATCOM is often your only solution to do that. As well as for ships and aircrafts, we all want to be connected all the time. Hiring people in shipping now, it's so important to attract and retain talent that you actually have communication on board, that the people that are at sea are able to communicate and stay in touch with their families. And of course, all of us, when we travel now on the aircraft, we want to get a little bit of work done while we're there as well. Mm-hmm. So I think this, and on top of this, you have all the monitoring, looking at the Earth, which comes to climate change monitoring, seeing what is happening at all the time. And this, we're launching more and more satellites now with different sensors that's just going to keep giving more and more information. And as soon as we're able to basically take that data and do what we do best here on Earth, making great applications with it, making it presentable, making it understandable, which is a big part of the job to be done in SATCOM. It's not just about getting the satellites up there and getting the data down. You need to be able to actually process and manage that data in a good way. I think Iridium was the first LEO constellation, and I think it's such a great thing that there where you can say it's the only way a polar bear can talk to a penguin, because it goes from pole to pole, and you can actually get it together. So that's something quite unique.
See, I love it, and unique. So, you know, you've obviously had this sort of entrepreneurial spirit driving you along. What made you decide to co-found QuadSat, and where did you come up with the innovative idea to use drones to test satellite communications?
Yeah, so I used to work in the maritime oil and gas sector with installing SATCOM equipment on ships and oil and gas rigs and this. And that's where I discovered there was a little bit of a gap with satellite communication. Satellite communication was promised to be 99.9% uptime. And that's what you promise when you're on a satellite. Yeah. But from the ground equipment, you need to take that also into consideration. How dependable is that? And what I experienced was that we would have these preventative maintenance contracts where you would come out, you would look at the equipment and make sure that it was working correctly. But it was really difficult to test this and to know it for sure. Because when you are on board as a SATCOM technician, the ship is always in port. Yeah. So the only way that we actually had to test after a repair, after a service, was to take the whole ship out of port and sail it around in the port. And you can imagine, this is not very, there was not the most fun part of my job to go and ask the captain if he can take it out and abort port operations and these kind of things and sail around. So we would do it most of the time, but of course, some of the times they would just know that this needs to work and they would just risk it. And in worst case scenarios, it didn't work. And they can sail for quite a while before they discover the issues as well. So the idea actually started with that instead of moving the ship around the satellite, maybe we can take the satellite around the ship. And that's where the idea of the drone came, that we could take a satellite simulator, put it on a drone, and then fly it around to decrease this risk, essentially. Obviously, also saving time, money, fuel, and pollution.
See, I think that's amazing because it truly is revolutionary. Because they've been, you know, testing antennas. It's one thing. Again, I think I kind of took for granted myself. I thought, okay, well, the antenna works, but yeah, you're thinking the satellite, you know, how can you test that feasibly? You can't wait for someone to launch a satellite and say, oh, it's not working. You know, you have to test that from the ground. So it's obviously transforming the industry. How has it impacted, like, say, satellite operators? What how does it look to them now that they have access to this kind of testing technology?
Yeah, so there's so the satellite operators are ultimately the ones to stand and gain a lot from it, because today you test an antenna at the factory and then you get it to work and then you send it out, and then it's not really tested that often. It depends on the size of the antenna and the value of the antenna. Of course, satellite antennas vary from very small to very, very big ones, and there's of course that, but there's not really any good ways of testing the antenna after it's left the factory, and that's really what they're getting here. That is that you have an on location test that can be brought anywhere in the world and can test at any time. And one of the big changes that we're facing now, or two big changes that we're facing now in the SATCOM industry, is that communication systems are going from being geostationary, being fixed in the sky, mm-hmm. to being low Earth orbit. So every satellite is moving. So this means that that the antennas on the ground needs to be tracking all the time. And they didn't have to do that before because they would just be stationary. So the only antennas that would track all the time would be the one on the ships, on the aircrafts, on the cars, and so on. Mm-hmm. And these are the antennas that generate most of the interference in space, because with time and everything, they don't point as accurately anymore. So now there will be a way to be testing this, and also with the low Earth orbit, with having a dynamic pointing all the time, mm-hmm. you have a whole new test that needs to be done. Can your antenna might perform well in the electromagnetic spectrum, but can it perform well in mechanical tracking? So it comes to new things to be evaluated here, and that hasn't been designed for in the traditional laboratories and test facilities. Right. So this is something that can be easily done with a drone, is to simulate or emulate the trajectory of the satellite and make sure that the performance goes well there. Another part of it is also the new antennas that are emerging. We have electronically steered antenna is becoming the things where you have a flat profile. The antenna integrates more into the aircraft or into the to where it's stationed. These antennas are set to be working at different orbits. And as well as changing, but the electromagnetic performance here changes based on the angle that the antenna is pointing at. So it might perform really well if the satellite is right above it, but if it's straight ahead of it, it becomes a completely different electromagnetic performance.
Right.
And again, with the drone here, you have so much flexibility because you can move it around and take any measurements that you want fairly quickly. So these are the benefits that are coming with the procedure that we're doing, which ultimately leads to a lot less interference once all of these antennas get tested regularly. Leads to a lot less interference for the satellite operators, and they will have more capacity that can be used on other things.
See, that's incredible, and it's already had just a major impact. Some of our audience may be familiar with OneWeb. It's a company creating, you said, low Earth orbit LEO satellite system to improve connectivity around the world. I understand QuadSat helped OneWeb with an antenna validation campaign in Italy in 2021. Can you tell us more about that?
So we talk with OneWeb, and they have their landing stations. One of the locations there is Italy, where we could come in and we can assess the performance of those landing stations even before actually the satellites are in full orbit, so that you can test the performance and make sure that the handover process will work as it should be. So we did that both in Italy, we did it in Greenland, as well as Svalbard. Up as far north that you can come with a commercial airline, and we did this just leading up to the commercial or the launch of the commercial services, and after we had been in there testing and also calibrating, then the network worked really well.
So and one thing too, I'm sitting there thinking just how hard it is to go from just an idea, ideas. I heard this a long time ago. You know, it's easy to come up with ideas, but to put them in a place and to form a startup and to get funding and to make it successful, I have to congratulate you and your team for that. I understand. Just last summer, you received additional funding from ESA for your product phase development project. How will that impact QuadSat?
So we're actually just about closing that now, and ESA has been a tremendous support in what we're doing. Quite early, we reached out to the European Space Agency because we knew there was an incentive with them for testing, for developing test and calibration of the ground equipment for antennas. Mm-hmm. So we reached out, and they were very positive to setting up a project and working on this. And they actually funded first our technology phase, so first going through and making a prototype. That prototype was then demonstrated in front of some of the major satellite operators and antenna manufacturers, getting feedback on this. We took that feedback into consideration, and we went back to ESA and we said, hey, we're ready. We want to build a product out of that. We had then in the technology phase proven that the requirements that the satellite operators needs to measure to qualify an antenna to get on the network was possible to achieve. And now we've built out a product that can then be operated by antenna manufacturer or service companies themselves. They just do a training program with us, and then we can equip them with a drone. And the big game changer here is, of course, instead of QuadSat traveling separately out to an antenna to test it, why wouldn't the technician that is already there installing the antenna, spending the time, use the equipment before he leaves and make sure that everything is working before he leaves. So in case anything is discovered, it can be changed, it can be corrected right away, saving a lot of time and, of course, the extra traveling and what it is for us. Not that we don't like traveling. We love to travel around and see everything, but we believe there's a much greater scaling component here by getting it out to the people that are actually on the site and doing it. Will have much bigger impact on the industry.
Wow. I want to congratulate you for just having the initial gumption and drive to start QuadSat and to make this revolutionary impact on the SATCOM industry. And I want to thank you for just sharing this information with me and our audience. Thank you so much for taking time to join me today. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Chuck. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Your space journey.
I really enjoyed my conversation today with Joachim about QuadSat and how their company is revolutionizing the SATCOM industry. If you'd like to find out more, just go to their website at quadsat.com. That's QUADSAT.com. I want to thank you, Joachim, for joining me today. I want to thank you for joining us as well. If you can do me a small favor and share this episode with a friend or give us a thumbs up or a like if you're listening on your favorite podcast application, that would be great. Thank you so much for joining me today. We'll see you next time. God bless.